Tests. Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 79. Psalm 79, a psalm of Asaph. O God, the nations have invaded thine inheritance. They have defiled thy holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the dead bodies of thy servants for food to the birds of the heavens, the flesh of thy godly ones to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water round about Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. They have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and derision of those around us. How long, O Lord, will thou be angry forever? Will thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the nations which do not know thee, and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his habitation. Do not remember the iniquities of our forefathers against us, and let thy compassion come quickly to meet us. For we are brought very low. Help us, O God, our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us, and forgive our sins for thy name's sake. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Let there be known among the nations in our sight vengeance for the blood of thy servants, which has been shed. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve those who are doomed to die, and return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom the reproach with which they have reproached thee, O Lord. So we thy people and the sheep of thy pasture will give thanks to thee forever. To all generations we will tell of thy praise. Amen. So this obviously is talking about a very significant event, which is the fall of Jerusalem. And so there will be the prophet Daniel, we'll call it the abomination of desolation. There'll be a lot of different terms for it. So now, if that is the case for this date, then clearly this cannot be the Asaph of Solomon and David, which is true. And so what some scholars believe is that Asaph became a title, kind of, or a name for any of the musicians that were there. I mean, he was kind of the prized musician. And so as a result, most people were called by Asaph, who would write later on. And so, I mean, this is clearly an event that has taken place. But there's, I mean, it's all centered on that event, but there's a few things here that I think are like really, really good for us to understand. So so it starts off, the nations have invaded your inheritance. So now we know this is talking about Jerusalem. Okay, so this was always known as God's inheritance was the city. They have defiled thy holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the dead bodies of thy servants for food to the birds of the heavens, the flesh of the godly ones to the beasts of the earth. There was a lot of horrible things that happened. If you recall, they set the city, surrounded the city, so no food could go in. They blocked the water canals. All these things happened. And so, it was real desolation for the people there. They had poured out their blood like water about like Jerusalem. There was no one to bury them. And, you know, this is like a really, really big thing. It's most places is really big, but especially amongst the Jewish people. But there's no one there. That's how devastating this disaster was. They have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and derision to those around us. Remember, they always claimed that they were the people of God. And so they'll talk more about the derision that comes later on. But this is the goal. Look at verse 5. Think about this perspective compared to the perspective that we normally have today when it comes to suffering, trouble, disaster, etc. They ask the question, how long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Notice they don't say, why, O Lord, will you be angry? They don't say, how come this is happening? They don't say why this is happening. They say, Lord, how long are we going to be going through discipline, basically? And in other words, the Israelite mind, they recognize that suffering, that pain, these things were just a part of life. Notice also in this writing, notice that that there is total justification for God's anger. Right? They're not saying, Lord, we don't deserve this. They know very well they deserve this. To give you a little bit of background of what's happening, Jeremiah, the prophet, this guy was working overtime to try to lead the people to repent. There were other false prophets during the time of Jeremiah that basically told them, oh, no, it's okay. Everything's okay. God will deliver us. And it was only Jeremiah that said, no, God will not deliver us. You better repent. And you know what? They didn't. And so now they're coming. So Asaph, speaking on behalf of the people, he recognized, we deserve this. Like this is not just some kind of happenstance that happens. And this is probably what derails most Christians, is that they don't feel that there's any culpability on their end. And they believe that, no, this is not my fault. This is has nothing to do with me. There's no way that this could be, you know, it may not be the big cause of these things, but we all are culpable in some way. So they don't ask those questions. They ask, when? Lord, when is this season of discipline going to be over? And in that question, I think is, to be honest, it's like just really good theology. You know, in that question is a really, really healthy sense of self-awareness. They recognize, yeah, we brought this on ourselves. So the anger of the Lord is justified. They never question the justification of God's anger. They know we messed up. Oh my goodness. We deserve this. But Lord, you are gracious and merciful. How long is this going to last? It wasn't, why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to me? Like I said, this is primarily what derails most of us, because we follow the pattern of the original sin, which is pointing fingers at other people. That's Adam and Eve. This woman that you gave me, oh, this snake. And instead, right, of taking responsibility, we tend to point to others. These guys, Asaph, will have none of that. He's not asking why. He's not pointing the fingers at somebody else, right? He's not questioning God's justification of this. He just asks the question, how long, O Lord? Brothers and sisters, if we can grab a hold of this in our spirit, if we could really, whatever difficulty, whatever comes our way, if we can really draw close, to the Lord in the midst of that space, man, probably the anger of the Lord will come a lot shorter, most likely, right? So how long, O Lord, will you be angry? Will you be angry forever? It's a question. Will your jealousy burn like fire? And then notice in return, so now, listen, the nations were responsible for the destruction of Jerusalem. And so it's not all on the Israelites either. It was the evil, it was the greed, it was the warmongering of, in this case, the nation of Babylon. And so they definitely played a huge part in that as well. But they didn't just dismiss, right, their own culpability by blaming Babylon. So you see kind of that twofold that's happening there. And he says here, Lord, pour out your wrath upon the nations which do not know thee. Call and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and have laid waste his inhabitation. And if you know history, this is exactly what happened. The Babylonians were actually overrun twice. Once by the Medes and another time by the Persians. We see that generally the nations that have come against the Lord and his holy people, they've paid a price through war, through their own captivity, to their multiple defeats, and so on and so forth. And so look at verse 8, and it says, do not remember the iniquities of our forefathers against us. Let thy compassion come quickly to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for thy name's sake. Now, finally, we get to this place of repentance. he's first recognizing that what is going on is not just the culmination of this generation's sin, but also the generations before. There's something about that. And so he says, Lord, let your compassion come quickly. Man, we are humble. We are actually, the word probably better translated is we are humiliated in this place. Deliver us, Lord. Forgive our sins. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Let there be known among the nations in our sight vengeance for the blood of thy servants, which has been shed. If you look throughout, and if you read about wars and these things, whenever nations conquer the Israelites, they ask this question, where is your God? They were so proud of this God, their God. And when the nations came, they mocked them. This happened all throughout. The Turks did it. You find the Babylonians did it. Even the Romans. If you ever go to the Colosseum, you have to go right next to the Colosseum. I think it's the area of the Forum, but there's this place called Palatine Hill. And it's really beautiful. They're like gardens. But there are still columns and there's inscriptions. And one you can see, it's actually really cool. It's tragic, but it's cool. And you can see there's carvings in the stone of these Roman soldiers, and they're carrying loads. And in their loads are all these kinds of different trademarks of other nations. And they're primarily like idols or symbols of the gods that these other nations had served. And it was kind of like a sign of Roman power. Look, we're like, you know, capture these gods. And in obviously the Israelites, they had no image, right? There's no image. Because that was one of the commandments. And so to depict Rome's conquer of Israel is you have the menorah. And so there's an inscription, and there's a menorah on the back of a soldier's rucksack, and it's the menorah is sticking out there. And so that was a sign of them conquering the Jews, but it's that same spirit. Where is your God? And all these nations that have captured Israel, they said the same exact thing. Where is your God? It was just a very sad, you know, kind of thing. And so Asaph is really talking about events that really, really took place. And he says, let the groaning of the prisoner come before thee according to the greatness of your power. Preserve those who are doomed to die. Return to our neighbor sevenfold. Into their bosom, the reproach which they have reproached thee, O Lord. And God definitively did that to these enemies of the Lord. And so we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture, will give thanks to thee forever. To all generations we will tell of thy praise. And so it starts off really sad. But it's really laying out the groundwork for God's deliverance. It's laying out the groundwork for God's rescue, and it's really telling the story of, I mean, really, just the goodness of God. And these guys recognize, and obviously, we'll get now into kind of New Testament language. You know, it's old language, but you know, very much drawn forth in the whole idea of the shepherd and. The shepherd mentality. And he says, Lord, we're your people. We're just sheep of your pasture. And so our job is to give thanks to thee. And to all the generations, tell of your praise. In other words, we're going to teach our kids and our kids' kids and so on and so forth. Lord, we're just sheep. You are the master, right? You are the shepherd. And so we're going to teach our people to praise you. We're going to praise you for delivering us. We see these nations, you know, if you think about it, they're saying, Lord, it's our fault that we're in this predicament. Lord, we're not going to blame you. We're not going to ask these questions. We deserve this. Your anger is justified in this place. But Lord, we turn our hearts to you once again. And so would you rescue us, and would you punish the nations that are coming against us. Lord, and when that and as that happens, Lord, we're gonna continue to worship you in this place. So let's close our eyes. Asaph has this incredible self-awareness. I mean, incredible self-awareness. Asaph is very clear. And so maybe one of the first things that should happen when we are encountering troubles is to repent. Instead of saying why, how long? Own what we need to own. We can ask the Lord to bring vengeance on those that are carrying out God's wrath. But we own what we own. Don't ask why. I mean, okay, you could ask why, of course. He's not offended by that. But the better is how long. How long, O Lord? Maybe you're asking why these days. Maybe God wants to move in your hearts. Let's pray.
Author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that God would give us a new perspective, that God would change our attitudes, that God would give us more awareness. And let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead us and to comfort us as well in the midst of difficulty. Let's lift up. Or maybe you're praying for someone who's going through that season. Pray to that end for them. Let's pray for our community. They're battling through cancer. Let's go through therapies and such. Let's go pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are bound with your illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through a non-cancerous illness. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through COVID. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's also pray for our frontline medical workers, that God will use them and protect them. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God's hand to be upon this land. Let's pray over the government. I know they're making big decisions about quarantine and all those things. Let's just really pray for just the wisdom of God to fall on them. Let's pray against the wealth gap in our city that's causing a lot of the issues here. Let's really pray for revival. Let's pray that God would really stir up the people of God and it would spread out to the people. Let's pray for the churches all over this place. Let's pray for our friends ministering here, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, God Catering, sons and daughters, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. Now let's lift up our city. Let's pray for the staff. Let's just pray for just the wisdom to lead our church, the heart to serve our church well. Let's pray for everyone's health, the kids, the families. So let's just ask for God's protection as we serve the Lord. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries. Let's ask the Lord to give us just more strategies and ideas in the midst of COVID restrictions, how to welcome and how to make our people more connected to this body. Let's pray. Let's pray for worship and sound and the AV teams. Let's pray for a spirit of worship. Let's pray that it would really lead our church into that place and space of intimacy. Let's pray for our pregnant ladies in our house. So let's pray for God's protection. Let's pray for covering. Let's pray the baby would grow strong and healthy. And then when it's time to deliver, that it'll be a very painless, really good experience. Thank you. Let's pray for House Church meeting tonight. Fontana, Happier Valley, Hopewell, K House, Old Peak Road, and Princeton. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and just the grace for our leaders to lead well. Let's pray that people connect with God and with each other. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. God, I pray that you'd help us to have a very similar perspective, God. It's not the why, Lord. Why me? Lord, why us? God, but Lord, how long, Lord? God, all your actions are justified, God. So would you teach us to surrender? God, would you teach us to be more aware of ourselves, God? And Lord, lead us into a life of repentance and joy. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us, God, today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.